Would you turn with me in John chapter 11? John 11, verse 35. The shortest verse in the Bible, the easiest verse to memorize in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And there are, friends, at least four lessons that we can learn from the tears of Jesus. Lessons that we learn from the fact that Jesus wept. But before we look at what these lessons are, just let us briefly say what these tears do not mean. It doesn't mean that God weeps. God does not have emotions like we have. God is different from us. He has affections. His love. He's gracious, he's compassionate. The Bible speaks of God as an angry God, as a jealous God, but not in the way that it is with man. Emotions mean that God changes. If God is one day happy and one day grieved, if God is one day blessed and one day in tears, that means that God changes according to the circumstances. And that is not possible. God is the unchangeable. God is the ever-blessed one. God has no passions the way we have. What changes is the God that God deals with us according to our sins. But when it says that Jesus wept, there's no saying that the second person of the Trinity, the internal, unchangeable, immutable God wept. Doesn't say that. Jesus wept. It does not mean that Jesus was powerless in the situation. It's not Jesus crying because I wish I could help, but I cannot. That's not the message. That's not the lesson. And we know from the chapter that we read that Jesus was in control and that Jesus was going to give life to Lazarus again. So he wasn't crying because, I'm hopeless here. He went there because he was going to wake him up. And when there are people dead, when some of our friends and families die, we weep. And one of the reasons why we weep is because there is nothing we can do to take them back. There is nothing we can do to give life again to that person. We are hopeless. And we cry. But the tears of Jesus are not that kind of tears. Jesus is not weeping because he's powerless, because he's hopeless. He's not weeping because the situation is greater than him. But also these tears are not a drama. Jesus is not pretending to be sad. Jesus is not showing himself to be weeping. The tears of Jesus were true, earnest, sincere. And we have to say this because some people bring to the extreme that Jesus is God and therefore he's passionless. They say, if Jesus is God, God has no feelings, God has no emotion, therefore these tears cannot be the true tears of Jesus. Sometimes they say, oh, we must qualify, it is the man Jesus weeping. But the Bible doesn't say that the human nature of Jesus was weeping. Jesus, God in the flesh, the divine person united to the human nature was weeping. Not part of Jesus, but Jesus as a person. And those tears were true. If we say that these tears are not real, that these tears are not heartfelt. If we say that Jesus is only pretending, is only showing himself a man, we are saying that Jesus is a liar. We are saying that Jesus is not truthful, that Jesus is not true, that Jesus is not honest. Jesus never acted as an actor. Never did and never will. And so when Jesus wept here, it is because he felt the need to weep. Because his heart was broken and he could not contain himself. He had to weep. So what these tears are teaching to us? First of all, they teach to us Christian emotions. Christian emotions. To be a Christian does not mean to be a cold robot that walks in this life with no feelings, with no emotions, with no affections. Life is full of joys and full of sorrows. And to pretend that the Christian is never going to rejoice or is never going to be sad is totally unbiblical. This idea that we cannot rejoice with those who are rejoicing and that we cannot weep with those who are weeping is foolishness. I know that the Bible tells us that we must be brave, that as Christians we have plenty of encouragements. And I know that the Bible tells us to be sober and vigilant and watchful. But the Bible never denies the right for joy. It never denies the right for weeping. This idea that when all is terrible, you cannot cry because you are a Christian. It's just pathetic. It's totally wrong. Jesus was challenged by death. Jesus was challenged by the loss of a friend. Jesus was challenged by the sorrows of his families and friends. And he wept. And that means, friends, that when we are in such a circumstances, we have the right to weep. And maybe this is easy for women. It's not so easy for men. But there is room in the Christian life for tears. It's natural. And God does not forbid men to cry. God does not forbid his people to be heartbroken. God does not forbid his people to be low, to struggle, to be sad, to be in need. God allows in his providence circumstances that brings us down on our knees, that breaks our heart, that cause tears down from our eyes. It's not sinful for us to be sad. It's not sinful for us to be happy. God has given us emotion. And though our emotions are not his affections, they're not the way he does feel, but yet these are given by him. And what we experience is according to his image, to his likeness. So maybe you are going through a hard time. And you might feel, oh, it's not right for me to be depressed. It's not right for me to be heartbroken. It is right. You have all the right in the world to weep if you need. It's not sinful. It's not wrong. God was never rebuking Job because he was sad. God rebuked Job because later on he was complaining with God. He was unwilling to humble under God's providence. But God never rebuked him because of his tears, because of his cries. We are emotional beings. And though we don't have to abuse this, there is and the Christian life part for our feelings. Our faith is not intellectual. Our faith is emotional. Remember Joseph. His father died, and he mourned for his father 40 days. 40 days for the death of his father. The Bible does not discourage us to weep when it's necessary, when it's felt, when it's needed. The Bible never discourages us to be happy, to rejoice, to be happy. This idea that I cannot never smile, that it's forbidden to me to be happy in church, that's not in the Bible, friends. In our Christian experience, there is place for feelings, for emotions, for happiness as well as for sadness. Jesus rejoiced and thanked the Father, rejoicing for the sovereignty of God. And now he is challenged by death, the horror of death, and all the pains that death brings with it. And he weeps. Secondly, we learn from the tears of Jesus the misery of man. The misery of man. Lazarus died. And when Jesus went to the graveyard, he wept. As Jesus saw the misery man has fallen because of sin, when Jesus was challenged personally, privately, by the result of sin among his people, he wept. Jesus never made man to die. Jesus made man to live. He made a covenant of life with man. Obey me and you shall live. And here is all the help you need. And here is the tree of life that will give you life. Obey me, trust me, and you will live. Man disobeyed, and now Lazarus, a man that he loved, was dead. And when Jesus saw the misery of man in death, and all the misery that death brings, he wept. When Jesus saw the misery of man, he wept. We are miserable creatures. The fittest of us, the strongest of us, the healthiest of us, the richest of us is going to die. We are all going to be dead. We don't know when this is going to happen. But we are going to die. Our estate is an estate of misery. Here in this life and in the life to come. And even Jesus wept when he saw the horror, the awfulness, the wickedness, the misery of death. He wept. No wonder we are afraid of dying. All of us, even the most spiritual person among us, is afraid of death. The young ones don't think about death. That's why you don't fear death. And when death becomes a reality, when death comes close to you, when you start getting older and your hair white, then you start to see death as a real enemy. And you start to be afraid. When your chest starts to be aching and sore, when you don't know about a heart attack, or when some of your dearest friends is taken away from you, and you see the horror of death, then you weep. Then you're afraid. And if Jesus wept because of death, that tells you, friend, the misery of our estate. All of us. We are dying creatures. We go up, we grow until 20. We are mature until 35. And then it's but just getting ready for the grave. Our body are decomposing, getting weaker and weaker. Our skin does not reproduce anymore. We are not so flexible, so strong. We are going to die. Our body cannot heal itself anymore until we are gone. And Jesus wept. When the Creator of man, when the man who is friends of sinner, saw death affecting his own beloved people, he wept. But also we see the misery of man in unbelief. Not just in death, but in unbelief. Yes, in verse 33, we find that when Jesus saw her weeping, when Caesar saw the Jew with her weeping, he groaned, he was troubled, and then he wept. So the death of Lazarus and all the misery that death brings with it caused the tears of Christ. But then later on, we are told that these men were complaining. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaning in himself. Jesus knew the heart of the people with him. He knew that they were not going to believe on him. He knew that they were hardened against him. He groaned in himself. He wept. Not even death was going to turn them from their sins. Not even death was going to turn them from their unbelief. They would continue to reject him, even if they were going to die. And when Jesus saw the misery of man, the deadness of man, the unbelief of man, he wept. In a sense, friends, all of us have caused plenty of tears to Jesus. Know that the blessed Son of God is weeping, of course. But our unbelief, our rejection of his promises, of his covenant, of his salvation, grieves God. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn and live. Why did Jesus weep? Because he saw wicked men not turning from their sins. Jesus, who loved sinners, who gave his life for sinners, saw among him, all around him, men unwilling to turn. And because of their unwillingness, he saw them dying. And he wept. And he wept. Should we not weep, friends, for the same reason? As Christians, should we not be heartbroken when we see our families, our friends, our neighbors, our people unwilling to believe on Christ, unwilling to turn from their sins, unwilling to turn from their evil ways? Should we not be broken in our hearts when we see them lost, going to a lost eternity? That was why Jesus wept. The misery of man. But thirdly, we learn from these tears the humanity of Jesus. In this chapter we find Jesus as God. There he is, the Prince of Life. There he is, the one who has authority over life and death. The one who has the keys of hell. The one who can say to the dead, arise and walk. Jesus shows himself to the people and the same event, in the same happening as God. He raised Lazarus from the dead 4 days. He wasn't half dead, he was dead. His sister thought he was stinking, was smelly, was rotten. After 4 days and that heat, you are already rotten. And Jesus called a rotten body out of the grave, and this man was alive and walking. He showed himself to be God. And yet, at the same time, in the same instance, he shows himself a true man. The mystery of godliness. The mystery of incarnation. God and man in one person. The divine nature and the divine and the human nature united in one divine person. Two natures united in one person without composition, without confusion. God remaining God and man remaining man. Jesus was not half God and half man. He was true God and true man. He was not a superman. He was a true man. 100% man. He was not a deified man. He was God and man. And he showed here in our verse himself and his humanity. One of us, weeping. So human that he was weeping like we do. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is someone like us. In one way, is the God whose thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and not our ways. On one hand, is the unreachable, transcendent, most glorious God. On the other hand, is a man like me and like you, yet without sin. It's someone that is sympathetic with us. Someone who knows what you and I go through in this life. Because he himself has experienced that in his own life. He knows what it means to be tired. He knows what it means to be abandoned. He knows what it means, death. He knows all this because he saw it, he felt it, he lived himself that. And this is something that should encourage us to come to him. He's one of us. He's sympathetic with us. He understands us, our needs. In prayer, dear Christians, I know I'm the first one to fail in this area, but we should be always going to Jesus in prayer. Knowing that he's going to hear us. Knowing that he's going to understand us. He's not going to reject us. He's not going to say, what are you talking about now? Because he knows. Jesus is a man. And his humanity has not disappeared since he went up to heaven. He still is the God-man. He took the human nature forever. Jesus is still the Son of Man. We can still approach him. We can still come to him. On one hand, in him rests the whole power of Godhead. He is still the one who is able to raise the dead. And yet it is a friend of sinners. The friend of man. The man who sticks closer than a brother. It is a great comfort. In this doctrine, there's a great comfort in the fact, in the truth, in the mystery that Jesus is both God and man in one person. That is never too far away from us, but he's near to us. And yet without sin. Remember this. He's one of us, but he's not a sinful person like we are. And so in all his emotions, he's always sinless. In all his doing, in all his saying, he's always sinless. His motives, are always holy. His love is always reliable. He's always faithful. He cannot deny himself. So from these tears we learn place for Christian emotions, the misery of man's estate, the humanity of Jesus. But lastly, we learn the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. And this love that Jesus has is understood by men. He's known of men. Verse 36. After he wept, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." The Jews realized Jesus is weeping now because he loved Lazarus. Look how he loved him. He loved him so much that he's not ashamed to cry for him and to weep for him. His love is real. We can see that Jesus loved Lazarus. And the love of Jesus is visible, is real, is understood, is seen. Behold how Jesus loves him. And the love of Jesus for you, Christian, is so evident in the death of Jesus. Behold how he loves you. He loves you so much, believer, that he gave his life for you. That he was willing to give his back to the whip. He was willing to suffer unspeakable sufferings. He was willing to go to hell for you, believer. That's the way Jesus loves you. See how he loves you, Christian. He died for you. But also his love is shown because he's united himself with men. When the Son of God accepted to become our substitute, when the Son accepted and was willing to come down on earth, to become a man and to save us from sin, he was accepting to become one of us, to unite himself, in a sense, to unite his destiny with our destiny. He was willing to take our nature on himself, to live the way you and I live, to experience the things that you and I experience, to be one of us, and to take for himself what is ours. And so, the tears of Jesus here are the tears of his people. The tears of his people become his tears. The Son of God never wept before. But now he's weeping. He has united himself so much. Out of love for sinners, he came so close to them to feel what they feel, to experience what they experience, to take for himself what was there. And so when Jesus speaks of himself as the sin offering, as Jesus speaks of him as offering himself to God, he speaks of his sin. Psalm 40, it's amazing. That is Jesus speaking. And he refers, "My sins have overwhelmed me." That is sinless. And yet, that is the sin of his people. But he was so united to them that he took their sin for himself. And those sins became for Jesus his sin. And when Jesus wept here, he wept because he united himself to the suffering people. He was not a distant friend. He was not a cruel, merciless, passionless robot. He was a man. And he was not afraid to unite himself with this man. And when he saw Mary, her dear sister, her dear friend, weeping, he wept. And when he saw the Jews there, unable to comfort Mary and Martha, when he saw them weeping with them, he also wept. Because he was one of them. He united himself with them. And so we have a great comfort in this. Jesus is not far from us. He has united himself with us. And here is a lesson for us. That we should be more like Jesus, says the Bible. That's our aim. That's why we are living. That's the work of the Spirit. To make us more like Christ. And very often, friends, in our relationship, we are not willing to get too close. I think especially in our modern society, we live so much for ourselves, and we are so afraid to suffer ourselves that we don't want too many friends, we don't want too much time with our friends and brethren. We're afraid to get too close. We're afraid to be too involved in our relationship. Because when there is a relationship, there are difficulties. There are tears, there are struggles. And we don't want that. And so we live very often, friends, in a sort of a glass, isolating ourselves from all sorrows, from all difficulties, from all people. Yes, we're happy to go to a wedding, but going to a funeral. We might go to a funeral, but going to see that person that is bereaving, it's far more difficult. But Jesus was not afraid to unite himself to those who suffer. You find Jesus at the wedding feast in Cana, and then you find Jesus here at the funeral. He united himself with those who rejoice, and united himself with those who weep. And so should we. There's a time to rejoice, there's a time to weep. And we should, friend, be willing to share the portion of our brethren, the portion of our friends, be that good, be that bad. Jesus showed his love in uniting himself to men. Are we so loving as Jesus was? Is our love for sinners evident? Sin as it was in the case of Christ? Do we weep like Jesus did at the misery of man's estate? At the misery of our unconverted children, unconverted brethren? Do we show our love to them at the point that we are willing to get closer and closer to them that we might save them? Jesus united himself so much to be one of them. Are we willing to do the same? Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. And yet, they reveal something of the most wonderful person, or the most wonderful person ever lived. Jesus wept.